Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Welcome back. We're talking football. Busy weekend in the football. Monaghan obviously overcame Cavan in the end. Offaly and Westmeath in not a classic will meet again next Saturday. We saw Kerry against Clare. We saw Cork come through in the end in their semi-final. And yesterday in Pearce Stadium, Salt Hill, we saw Galway 15 points. Mayo 111 in front of 24,000. Predominantly very happy Galway fans. We have got Billy Joe Padden on the line and Micheál Quirk. Billy Joe, Mayo, the Mayo that we saw last September versus the Mayo that we're seeing yesterday, what are the differences? What's changed?
I think a few things have changed. Not that much. I think you're seeing the Mayo of last September, you know, were defensively very strong. They were, you know, very aggressive, very obviously very well conditioned. Were able to live with Dublin athletically in both games, and you know they relied on free taking and scoring was hard to come by. And I think some of those things are still the same. But I suppose the Mayo that we saw yesterday, we saw them make a big mistake early on, and then you know really struggle to create anything in the latter stages of the game. And probably if you compare from year to year, you probably would have got the feeling last year, if it had happened, that Mayo might have been able to dig out and manufacture a score from somewhere. And I think that that's probably somewhere inside the players' heads. And I think that's probably the reason why there's things maybe lingering in there. And it's just maybe we're just finally seeing the collateral damage from all those years of getting so close and not being able to get over the line. And maybe yesterday was the day we saw it affect them in terms of just the belief in their footballing ability, not in anything to do with their commitment or their effort, because that was a constant throughout and admirable again.
Right. Okay. Interesting. I presume when you say a mistake early on, you mean the Higgins sending off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that had a big bearing on the game. Don't get me wrong. I actually thought that Mayo in the first half against Galway, against the wind, against the elements, played a good half of football. You know, I was watching. I was very happy with it. Even after the sending off, I thought they were doing the right things tactically. They were taking short kickouts. They were retaining possession, frustrating Galway. They dominated possession. You know, kept the ball away from the Galway forwards. All right, missed a couple of chances on a couple of attacks they had. But to me, the second half is where it all went wrong. And it was kind of baffling to me that they persisted with the short kickouts, even when they had the elements at their back. They brought on Aidan O'Shea and still persisted with short kickouts when they lined him out in midfield. You could make an argument that he would have been better off lined out at full forward, and I couldn't argue with you.
Yeah.
And it just seemed so disjointed. And particularly when you're a man down, it's going to be much more difficult for the strike runners that Mayo have and Lee Keegan and Patrick Durkin to break out of defence. And the Mayo game plan is so reliant on that when they play that possession hand-passing game, that when they were unable to do that being a man down, they had to go more direct, and they didn't. And I suppose some of that blame will lay with the management team for not changing that focus at half-time.
Okay. So say there is a certain psychological trauma, not to put too fine a point on it, from recent years, and it's affecting their shooting and it's affecting maybe a sense of belief. Is this the first time you've looked at this Mayo team and thought to yourself, oh, there's something has been sapped out of their forwards? Or has it been, you know, a thing which has maybe struck them at certain key points over the last number of years? I'm just wondering, is there any reason, is there something that you saw which made you think there's a confidence issue now as a result of the defeats in recent years?
Well, I just think that, you know, those 7 or 8 minutes, well, there was a good number of minutes where they were only a point down, you know, and, you know, just no one really put their hand up. You know, all right, Evan Regan put his hand up, and probably they were ill-advised shots. The shots weren't ever really on. I suppose, you got to admire his courage, but it wasn't the right option. Whereas you can be sure that Killian O'Connor had two or three goalmen hanging out of him. So he was probably, I'm sure, you could look back at the tape. I'm sure he was doing everything he possibly could to get on the ball. But without Killian stepping up and take the ball, you take the other fact is that Andy wasn't on the field anymore. You had Kevin McLaughlin, who'd be a fellow, as another good kicker of the ball. Even young Fergal Boland has proven himself in this league campaign to be an excellent kicker of the ball. And that's what you needed when you had the elements, and you needed somebody willing to take on an outside shot. And between the fact that no one put their hand up and the fact that the fellas that could do it were on the bench, I think Mayo were left found wanting there.
And Micheál Quirk's with us as well. Micheál, death taxes on Mayo forwards.
seems to be the recurring theme, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, and it's nothing new, really. And like people, you know, for the last couple of days have been looking at Evan Regan and giving out. But like it's just this is Mayo, and when you don't have that platform from their half back line with Cullen Boyle, who I don't know why he didn't start a game, Durkin or Lee Keegan, when you're not getting a large, you know, chunk of scores or winning frees from those guys driving forwards and slipping it to forwards on the loop for easy kicks, then suddenly their deficiencies up front, you know, become a lot more glaring, and you're saying, okay, if Killian O'Connor isn't the man of the match every game, now it becomes a little bit more of a struggle. I mean, Andy Moran has been an unbelievable footballer and one of the best footballers that Mayo have ever produced. But at this stage, you know, Mayo shouldn't have to be relying on Andy Moran, you know, to be there in the last 10 minutes of the game, or else you don't start him and you play him in the last 20 minutes of the game. But they just had no bit of, you know, nous that a guy isn't taking a pot shot with the outside of his left leg from 40 yards, but you have a guy, a cute fox like Andy Moran, who's winning a free 30 yards out in front of the post for Killian to kick over the bar. And they just constantly are lacking that little bit of, you know, that IQ stuff, that high IQ, real good couple of forwards that are going to make a big difference in tight games when your top guys are maybe not right at the pitch of it. You know, and Aidan O'Shea, for me, I don't know what's the story with injury or whatever, but like if he's not in Mayo's top six forwards or you know our midfielder forwards, if there's no chance like that there's somebody that's not as good as him, I can't understand how you don't stack him in the game and you don't ride him all the way, you know, as far as you can.
It's strange, you're right, because he's fit enough. He has a groin injury, is the word. He's fit enough to come on in the 48th minute, but at midfield. So you would think, as you mentioned, stick him in the edge of the square where. Even, for instance, last year against Tyrone, jumps to mind in the quarterfinal, he did some damage. Stick him in the edge of the square, you'll get the guts of an hour out of him from the start.
If you put himself and Killian O'Connor standing at the edge of the square and you go absolutely ignorant route one football and you kick 10 balls in on top of the two of them, you're probably going to come out with four or five scores. You know, if Mayo had gone as ignorant as that yesterday with the wind and the conditions that they had in the second half, you probably were going to get enough to win the game. I mean, Galway, the scary thing about this for Mayo is Galway didn't even play that well. Galway were actually quite poor in the second half and went through a long spell where they couldn't get scores themselves, and they were really focusing on stopping Mayo and stopping, you know, them scoring as opposed to trying to push on themselves. And still Mayo didn't have it, although they were down to 14 men. They couldn't find that, you know, that missing link to get him a couple of scores in a crucial tight situation, you know?
Yeah. Billy Joe, are there tactical questions over this management team?
Oh, I think so. And I think Michal has, you know, hit the nail on the head there with a couple of things. I would agree totally that, you know, Andy is still one of the key contributors in this team. But we may only need him playing the last 25 minutes, not the first 25. And, you know, similar, you know, even after yesterday, after he scored a point, you know, you would have just kind of let it run. Let's see how he can. Because all, as Michal said, all he would have needed was a bit of cleverness winning the free. Or if there was an outside shot, he would be a high percentage shooter. I think the Aidan O'Shea question is as well. Like, I don't know how fit he is. But to me, I'd like to see him getting back to doing what he does really well, which is a ball winner. And yesterday, there was an opportunity in two areas of the field to utilise him as a ball winner. As Michal said, you could have just been, you know, really direct into the forward line and utilise him there, or even in midfield if they decided to go long with their own kickoffs, but they didn't even do that. And I think that was a big mistake. Look, the Cullen Boyle thing is kind of baffling as well. I know he probably hasn't finished too many games in the last year for Mayo, but look, if you need some go-forward ball from your half-back line at a key stage in the second half there, I think it's pretty obvious that he should have got more than the 2 or 3 minutes he got.
Yeah, so to wrap in Mayo, because I do want to talk about Galway, Billy Joe, we are at a point where their forwards are such that O'Connor will get his frees and get a few scores and a few others might chip in, but that half back line has to be motoring. They have to have that running game up and running, to use the expression.
Yeah.
You know, they need that to be full throttle, all out, and that's how they're going to keep chipping away at the scoreboard and try and keep things tight the other end. Like, that's a real high wire act. Everything needs to be working really well for this Mayo team to win doing that. They're not getting easy scores the way other bigger teams can.
Yeah, no, and that's, look, if that's the way they were going to beat Dublin last year, that was the way they were going to do it. It was like, and I suppose people were wondering in the off season how can Mayo improve, and these marginal gains, it is such a fine line, and that's why when you get somebody sent off, it practically nearly makes it impossible for that Mayo team to win the game without scoring goals. And, you know, they didn't really create any goal scoring chance apart from that one where they kind of really butchered it, to be honest. And But you're right. It's that is the only approach they can take, because the strength of the squad, not the team, the strength of the squad is in the half back line. When you consider that Colin Boyle can come in there, you know, Chris Barrett's playing cornerback. He's a natural wing back. Even Keith Higgins, people would say, should be playing probably in, you know, the half back line area of the field. Now, that's where the strength is. They've got to kind of build on some of the things they did well in the first half against Galway, which was keeping possession and, you know, dominating the ball that way. But at the same time, recognising when they have to create that kind of thrust and that overlapping man off the shoulder, ball carrying sort of game to get people in behind defences and try and punch a few holes there and then hit the likes of Andy on the loop and Killy on the loop or win freeze, and that'll be the way their game. And at the same time, keeping it really tight at the back.
Micheál, a point or two on Galway from listeners. Can we please mention the freak lucky goal from Ayo? It was a huge moment in a low-scoring game. Has been ignored generally. The media narrative is that Galway were lucky when the opposite is true. That's Tom in Galway, who does omit to mention Mayo had 14 men for much of the game. Lads, I want to hear what Galway did right, not what Mayo did wrong. Everyone else saying Mayo threw the game away. Surely Galway deserve a bit of credit from Sean. Micheál, you said they weren't overly impressive.
Not in the second half. I thought they tightened up when the finish line came into sight. I thought they had, you know, the better performers on the day. If you take a step back and look at Galway football at the moment, you know, overall, I mean, they're under 17s. I think beat Mayo last weekend. Their minors are true to the Connacht final, if I'm not mistaken. They're under 21s. We're beating an All Ireland final. They're after beating Mayo and our Connacht challenge wins at senior level, and they're after beating Mayo again. I mean, Galway are getting plenty of credit. They're riding a wave that's obviously building from work they're doing at a lower level in terms of under 17s and 18s and squads and under 21s. And they look now at the moment like they're getting a bit of a conveyor belt going of these young kind of energetic guys who are just fearless, really, when they're coming up against traditional kind of Connacht superpowers like Mayo and the way Mayo have dominated the competition for the last number of years. You look at a guy like Comer, and what an animal of a man this guy is, and what a footballer he is. He looks like he's a kind of a cartoon character. He's so strong and bursting out of his jersey, and yet the guy's got absolutely super football skills. And for such a young guy, I thought he was a massive leader for them as well yesterday. And you know, the hit he put in, the the aggression and everything he showed, I thought, was just kind of embodied their whole performance. But like, I'm sure if Kevin Welch is looking at that, and you could see him as the game was wearing on and wearing into the last 10 minutes, he was getting jittery on that sideline. Galway were blowing a couple of chances to make the game more comfortable, and I think it was a lot less comfortable than it should have been for Galway yesterday.
Yeah, well, they only managed 2 scores in the last 30 minutes, so it's far from perfect. Yeah. What about Kerry then, Micheál? I only saw highlights of this game. Certainly the headline news is that O'Donoghue looked to be back and starting, and he's kicked 9 points, I think 5 coming from frees, but looked to be moving well.
Oh yeah, he was scary. Yeah, he was back to 2015 when he was the best footballer in the country. He looked as good as he has been since now. And funny, there's been a couple of rounds of the county championship on down here, and the talk was that, you know, that this guy was flying, and I saw him in one game, and he looked as good as he did yesterday, and he carried that into the game, and Kerry needed it, to be honest, because it was actually similar enough with Donegal Welsh getting sent off. You know, Clare, to their eternal credit, were absolutely every bit as good as the scoreline at halftime suggested when it was a draw, and they were dominant in the middle of the field with Gary Brennan and Conor O'Connor, and you know, Tuberty above was kicking points off left and right, and they made it really uncomfortable for Kerry. And you didn't actually have the feel of this is just an inevitable kind of procession. They put it up to Kerry for long stages, but James was the difference, really. He gave you that cutting edge, and he made everybody else better, and then Kerry obviously turned the screw in the middle of the field, and that gave him a little bit more ball. But Kerry just looked like a team, you know, they hadn't played a competitive game for 10 weeks, and Clare obviously had come off the back of a tough game against Limerick. But, you know, they're Cullum Collins, to be fair to them down there, they're after bringing Clare football on to, you know, a very credible level from where they were 5-6 years ago, and not many teams are going to, you know, fancy going down there in qualifiers.
Yeah. The other, and we'll have Kerry Cork in a Munster final, not at Parky Cueve, as was the plan, but in Killarney, presumably now, because Parky Cueve isn't ready. So we'll preview that game in a couple of weeks. The other news from the weekend, Billy Joe, is that Dermot Connolly in Dublin, it seems, are going to appeal the ban. And, you know, the last couple of days there was talk, if you know, Dean Rock was at some product launch and he was being asked endlessly about Connolly, and Then the news came through that Connolly wasn't appealing the ban, and it was said, well, look, it's probably for the best. It'll derail Dublin's season. They'll be answering questions about it all season, and he's back for the semi-final anyway. And then we wake up today and, well, hey, here we go. And, like, presumably Connolly, the appeal will not be based on any claim that he didn't put his hand on the linesman, but there will be some technicality where you almost know already he's going to get off. And I don't know, should they have take the ban, or are they bloody right to say, well, to hell with all you, if we can get off, we're getting him off?
I think, you know, the sport is about winning, I suppose, at those levels. And they're probably thinking, you know, if we can get him off, we will get him off.
What about your Corinthian spirit, Billy Joe?
I don't know. I've seen too many defensive tactics over the last 6 or 7 seasons not to make me think like that. Now, look, for Dermot's point of view, you know, he won't want to miss the summer football. Dublin supporters will want to see him out there. You know, what he did wasn't the worst thing in the world. You'll probably see many worse things that'll happen over the next couple of months. I suppose the key thing for me is that I think the whole discipline element of it in relation to, you know, match officials is out of hand in the GAA. And I suppose from that point of view, this is, if he gets off, that's not going to help it in any way at all. And people will probably even feel maybe that they can get away a bit more in terms of how they address the referee or a linesman. And to me, that's disappointing, because if we could stamp that out of the game, you know, it might make the referee's job a bit easier. But from Dublin's point of view, they don't need to be the shining light, the example. You know, you said yourself that they'd have to be dealing with these questions all through the summer. For me, that you don't see too many of their players dealing with the media, and you know more about it than I would. So Dublin are just really interested in their own business, and, you know, I can't blame them for that.
Yeah, Micheál, I presume in no way whatsoever does this distract Dublin, derail Dublin. Because if he's back for the semi-final, they're going to coast to the semi-final without him.
Yeah, you would imagine so. But look, if you're Jim Gavin or you're involved in the Dublin County Board, you would have been, you know, outside of anything, you know, on high moral ground, you would be very foolish not to appeal.
Sure.
You know, there's obviously, you know, and it's fine for us to say, look, it's setting a bad example here for, and it is, it sets a bad example. If he gets off for club guys below in Temple Noor and Ballintubber and any other, you know, part of Ireland, that they kind of say, well, look, you know, we can do this and we can get away with it and we'll get off on a technicality. And it sure sets a bad example. But if you're involved in Dublin's high-performance environment, you don't care what example you're setting for a guy in Ballintubber or Temple Noor. All you care about is, I want my best players on the pitch all the time. And they'll tie these boys up in knots in these appeal hearings and they'll probably, you know, present the Sam Maguire to coming out of the appeal hearing and having tied in such knots. Like, so he's going to get off, and it's inevitable. And the biggest shock was when I heard that he wasn't going to appeal, because that just doesn't make any sense. And whether it's right or wrong, you can be having a moral discussion about that. But either way, it wasn't going to derail their season, because they got too many really good footballers to be scuppered in Leinster or in the quarterfinal. Yeah. But it's just, look, it's another talking point, but I think it's one that'll put to bed pretty quickly.
All right, lads, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Micheál Quirk and Billy Joe Padden there on the line. GAA News Talk with thanks to Bord Gáis Energy, giving customers exclusive access to the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship at bgerewards.ie.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.